Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a series of studies on the miracles of the Lord. This is some of the richest ground in all of the Scriptures, and we're going to be studying His first miracle in the second chapter of John's Gospel, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 2. And if you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to find that chapter. We'll be consulting it soon. Now, there is a purpose for the miracles in the Scripture. They are to manifest the glory of God and the power of God. We'll be reading about that later in this very chapter that we're going to read from, the second chapter, the first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, they give us a basis for faith, as we will see. And then they meet the immediate need of those that were involved. The miracles had a tremendous effect upon people of that age. It confirmed the fact that this whole thing was of God. Nicodemus, in the third chapter of John's Gospel, says there, as he introduces himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Well, now, Nicodemus came a long ways in that statement, but he fell short of the full import of who this man was. This man was God. He simply wasn't the fact that God was with him. He was God. Now, he did these miracles, and they reached the people. Christianity took off wonderfully. It progressed wonderfully in that first century, and especially in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the people were impressed by his miracles. And we will notice, as we study the miracles of our Lord Jesus, how they arrested the attention of the people of that age. And then we will see the miracles carried on into the book of Acts, when the Lord gives his disciples power to perform miracles. Peter, for instance, raised Dorcas from the dead. And they had that power. And the book of Acts speaks of the wonderful effect of those miracles. In the book of Acts, from the beginning, it was at Jerusalem. And at the end of the book of Acts, it was at Rome. It was all over the earth. All right, now let's consider our chapter today, the first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 2. "And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." We will explain that a little bit later. "His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he doeth, saith to you, do it." Verse 6, "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water." They were empty. 6 water pots of stone, and they were empty. "Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, and they are slightly inebriated, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory." Now notice, please, "and his disciples believed on him. Now you notice the two causes of miracle, why God permitted it in that day and does not permit it in this day, and we'll discuss that. Notice the effect. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. And then, the second part, his disciples believed on him. Now, the question might arise, why don't we have miracles today? If they were so effective in reaching those heathen nations in that day, why aren't they in practice today? Well, we do have miracles today. I think of the miracle of the salvation of a soul. Only God can accomplish it. But God has another reason, I believe. This is the age of the Word of God. We have the complete Scriptures, and those people of that day did not have them. And God was pleased to speak through miracles. Now he speaks through his word. But it's just as real and just as powerful. Now this miracle was at a wedding. God instituted marriage, and this was at a wedding. But they ran out of wine. And Mary tells the Lord about it, and the Lord meets their need. Now we're going to spiritualize the different elements of this miracle. You'll notice this in the study of the miracles as we progress through this series. You will notice the significance of the details of the miracles. Now we'll talk about wine, for instance. Wine in the Scripture is the symbol of joy. We read in Psalm 104, verse 15, these words, "He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that maketh his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart." Wine, that maketh the heart glad the heart of man. Wine is a symbol of joy, but they ran out of wine. Let's make a point out of that. Earthly joys soon fade away. They run out. We read in Hebrews 11:25, it was written of Moses in that wonderful chapter. Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now we would be foolish if we didn't say that sin wasn't pleasurable, but it's only for a season. And then it has its awful consequences. It runs out. And the pleasures of this earth run out. Now the empty jars of stone, what a picture they are of those that live life without Christ. You can have Christ in your heart if you're saved, if you believe that he died for you on the cross of Calvary, for your sins, and trust that as your means of salvation, doing nothing yourself, but just simply believing the word of God. You can trust it, you can believe it, and he will fill the heart with joy, and he will come and dwell within you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now if you've got Christ in you and you're saved, then your little jar is full. These jars were empty. They filled them with water. Now water is the word of God. We read in the Scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." The word of God is like water. We read also in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." The word of God is a cleansing agent. And you see that the water jars were filled up with water, but they were turned into wine. Now the word of God can be turned into joy. I think of Matthew 11:28 in my own experience. Matthew 11:28, we read, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." the Lord used this verse to bring me to Christ. I was trying in my church work to merit the favor of God. I was trying to earn my salvation. I never had peace. But the Lord Jesus brought that verse before me that night in the power of the Spirit of God. And that word was turned into joy. I was made to see what the verse really means. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There I was, laboring, trying to be saved, heavy laden, with the burden of my sins, trying to get rid of them. The Lord says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That verse fit me like a glove. It was perfect. It just fit my need. And I realized, why, Christ has already died for my sins. He has made the way open to heaven to me. I just have simply to believe it and rejoice in it. And I believed in it. I grasped it like a drowning man does the straw, the proverbial straw. But I didn't grasp a straw. I grasped the rock of ages, and joy filled my heart. All right, now, the governor of the feast, goes to the bridegroom, and he says, do you know that you have saved the good wine until now? And do you know that is true of you and me? God saves the good wine until the last of our lives. The joys of earth always run out. Satan doesn't have any happy people. When the fires of youth are burned out, the joy is gone, absolutely gone. But for the Christian, the Lord has saved the good wine until now. He saved it for the latter part of our lives. There is that old song, we used to sing it years ago, and I love it. Sweeter as the days go by, sweeter as the days go by, richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter, sweeter as the days go by. God has given the Christian that wine that was resulted from the Word of God, that joy that the Word of God brought to us. I've got the Word of God that my sins are paid for. I've got the Word of God as a promise that if I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. I've got the Word of God to prove that God loves me and that he never goes back on his promises. I've got the Word of God that tells me I'm going to be in heaven. You want to tell me otherwise? You better not try. You'll be wasting your breath. When the Spirit of God turns the Word of God into water, the water, turns the water into wine, the joy comes. Our Father, today, impress upon our hearts the need of coming to Christ and trusting him for heart satisfaction. In his name we pray. Amen.